Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tatva Chintan Pharma Chem Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjesh Jain. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Seema. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Tatva Chintan Pharma Chem Q2 and H1 FY22 results conference call. We have Tatva Chintan management on this call, represented by Mr. Chintan Shah, MD, and Mr. Ashok Bothra, CFO. I would like to invite Mr. Dinesh Sodhani, GM Finance, to initiate with his opening remark, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, Dinesh.
Thank you, Sanjesh. Good evening, everyone. We are pleased to welcome you all to our Q2 FY23 earnings call. Today on call, we have with us Mr. Chintan Shah, Managing Director, Tatva Chintan, and Mr. Ashok Bothra, Chief Financial Officer, to discuss performance of the company during the quarter gone by, followed by question and answer. Please note that a copy of our disclosure is available on the investor section of our website as well as the stock exchanges. Please do note that anything said on this call which reflects our outlook towards the future or which could be construed as forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces in terms of uncertainty. With that, I would like to hand over the floor to our MD, Mr. Chintan Shah, for his opening statement.
Thank you, Dinesh. Good evening and Saal Mubarak to all the participants. We wish you all a happy and a prosperous year. Thank you for joining us on our Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings call. I trust everyone is back to work more energized after a good break. I believe you have got a chance to go through the investor presentation uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as the company's website. To begin with, let me brief you with the financial numbers on year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter basis. During this quarter, the revenue from operations was at 901 million, a decline of 27% year-on-year and a growth of 2% quarter-on-quarter respectively. Please note that Q2 FY22 was an outstanding quarter in terms of business performance and product mix, it being the last quarter before the onset of effects of semiconductor chip shortages across the world. Hence, on a year-on-year basis, the numbers are showing a considerable decline. EBITDA during this quarter was at 112 million, a decline of 68% year-on-year and 27% Q-on-Q basis. EBITDA includes Forex loss of 32.21 million, so the actual operational EBITDA during the current quarter is at 143.98 million, which translates into an EBITDA margin of 16%. Forex loss is mainly arising because of MTM of forward contract due to continuously depreciating rupee. Net profit after tax was at 71 million, a decline of 78% year-on-year and 27% Q-on-Q basis. Comparing on quarter-on-quarter basis, the profitability has dropped due to increase in costs such as power and fuel by nearly 32%, packing cost by nearly 36%, and employee cost by slightly higher by 7% during this quarter. In addition, changes in the product mix has also some impact on profitability. Now let me explain each of the product categories and take you through the developments that took place in each of them during this quarter. PTCs have registered quarterly revenue of 326 million in this quarter and half-yearly revenue of 729 million, contributing 41% of the revenue and a growth of 69% year-on-year basis. Demand for PTCs from various user industries continue to remain robust. Electrolyte salts registered a revenue of 45 million in this quarter and half-yearly revenue of 115 million, contributing 6% of the revenue and a growth of 846% year-on-year basis. During the quarter, we have been formally approved by one more customer and are awaiting an approval from yet another customer. Over the next two quarters, we anticipate a slight dip in offtake by one of our existing customers as they are working on debottlenecking their plant productivity to become ready for their upcoming large demands. With the strong increase in demand for energy storage systems globally over the next few years, we anticipate exponential growth in this segment. Pharma and agro intermediates and specialty chemicals registered a revenue of 427 million and a half-yearly revenue of 772 million, contributing 43% of the revenue and a growth of 45% year-on-year basis. In monoline, the delivery of pilot stage equipment for continuous flow chemistry has been delayed by the supplier and is rescheduled to arrive at our facility in mid-December 2022. Post receipt of this equipment, the trials will commence. As discussed earlier, for another product on continuous flow basis, the trial runs have been successfully completed. We are now awaiting to receive quality approval from the customer. Commercial supplies should take about 15 to 18 months' time to materialize. Regarding the new product in application area of metal extraction, commercial supplies are all set to begin from Q4 FY23. We are pleased to inform that we have successfully completed the lab development of one new product based on continuous flow chemistry, which is the key base raw material for multiple agrochemical intermediates. We are progressing steadily with the development of few other products using continuous flow applications. Demand in this sector continue to remain robust, and we see a strong growth under this product category over the coming years. SDS registered a revenue of 98 million and a half-yearly revenue of 157 million, contributing 9% of the revenue in H1 FY23, and a decline of 88% year-on-year basis. The sale of SDA is gradually picking up. We will see a better number on SDA revenues in Q3 and strong numbers in Q4 '23. Some of the customers are coming back on track with good demand, but still the overall demand is not back to normal levels. The key reason behind this being about a 50% drop in heavy-duty diesel engine commercial vehicle sales in China due to the ongoing lockdown situations in the country since a long time. Industry is expecting the Chinese demand to revive from late Q4 FY23. Now we have been formally given opportunity to cater plant-sized trial material by a new customer. The trial material will be supplied in the end of Q3 FY23. This may take 6 to 9 months to convert into commercial business post successful trials. We continue to remain optimistic on this product category and anticipate larger volume over the coming years. Regarding another product category of flame retardants, we are pleased to inform that we have successfully established the product on plant scale quite recently. I will be honest that we have struggled a lot over the last couple of months to achieve the desired quality and yields on plant scale. But now we can confidently announce that the product quality can meet global standards. The key factors we require to monitor is how the European energy crisis is rolling out over the next few months, and also about the Chinese and European demand revival for heavy-duty commercial vehicles, how it pans out. Despite of all possible adversities we have faced during the current financial year, we expect to close the current financial year with a top line in excess of 400 crores, with subdued profitability as compared to previous year due to change in product mix and underutilization of SDA facility. The ongoing capacity expansion of setting up additional facility at our Dahej SEZ plant is underway, and we target to commission the facility by end of Q3. The expansion of R&D facility at Vadodara is also underway, and the same is expected to be completed by the end of FY23. During this quarter, we have successfully completed various projects which will have good positive impact in our performance going forward. Just to list a few, we began reusing a large volume solvent at the Dahej facility by using the latest technology. This will ensure competitiveness and cost saving in few of our products. We have formulated plans to set up a similar technology at our Ankleshwar facility. We have successfully completed plant trials of flame retardants. We have also successfully supplied from plant scale a new pharma intermediate to a new customer for validation. The product is expected to commercialize in 2024. We successfully completed plant scale trial runs of a new product using continuous flow chemistry. This, as I have explained earlier, and this product is expected to commercialize again in 12 to 15 months time, so about 2024. We successfully completed lab scale development of a very important starting key raw material for various agrochemical intermediates. We assure you that we shall focus and work hard in developing new products using latest technology to ensure that we can continuously provide good products and solutions to our customers. With this, I conclude my remarks and hand the call to Mr. Ashok Bhutta, our CFO.
Thank you, sir. And good evening, everyone. I shall summarize the financial highlights for the quarter. Revenue from operation was at 901 million versus 1236 million in Q2 FY22. That is decline of 27% on Y-on-Y basis due to lower offtake in demand of SDA, and also as base year was the best performing in our company's history. EBITDA was at 112 million versus 355 million in Q2 FY22. That is decline of 68% on Y-on-Y basis due to forex rate and change in product mix. EBITDA margin was at 12% versus 29% in Q2 FY22. The EBITDA number includes forex loss of 32 million. So the actual operational EBITDA during the current quarter comes to 144 million, which translates into EBITDA margin of 16%. In addition, the margin have got impacted due to change in product mix by drop in demand of SDA, which is our high margin accretive product category. PAT was at 71 million versus 324 million in Q2 FY22, decline of 78% on Y-on-Y basis. PAT margin was at 8% versus 26% in Q2 FY22. The impact is also on account of higher tax. Earlier, our Dahej facility was enjoying tax holiday of 100%, and now we are enjoying 50% tax exemption for next 5 years. During Q2 FY22, 23 exports stood at 594 million, contributing 66% of the revenue. The export declined during the quarter by 41% Y-on-Y due to drop in sale of SDA, which is our major export contributor. Total debt as on 30th September 2022 stood at 1397 million with debt equity ratio of 0.29 times. Our debt of 85% is on account of working capital debt. Out of our net IPO proceeds of 2072 million, 1338 million have been utilized as on 30th September 2022. That concludes my update on financial performance of Tatva Chintan. Now we can, dear moderator, now we can open the floor for question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So my question is, number one, if I, you know, hear correctly, you had talked about 400 crores of this year as sales.
As a guidance. Sorry, can you?
Can you? The guidance. Oh, can you hear me now? Yes, sir.
Yeah, slightly better.
Hello. Yes, sir. So just wanted to, you know, understand, I mean, you had talked about 400 crores for this year, I mean, as a guidance in sales for the full year for FY23.
Yes.
Yeah. Just to understand, I mean, if you're looking at our mix.
We are expecting the Chinese demand revival by February. So if that happens, we may exceed that forecast, but as a precaution, I would prefer to remain as a guidance for excess of 400 crores.
Sure, sir. Sir, I mean, just to understand, you know, the, you know, connect the dots, one is we are getting the new capacity coming in the second half of this year. And, you know, we basically used to run at around 55 to 60 crores on a quarterly run rate last year. So just to understand, I mean, with that capacity coming in, and I mean, what should be the kind of SDA that one should look at as far as revival is concerned, and from a, you know, ongoing basis, the kind of demand that we can see even beyond FY23?
So, see, basically, the SDA demand is now reviving back. So one of our customers is gone back to almost full-scale demand scales, and another customer is yet to revive. The third customer is now slowly starting, and they have started putting in demands. So I believe by end of this financial year, the demand should be back to normal. In that scenario, we should see a strong growth coming in the next financial year.
Sure. And sir, with respect to the flame retardant,
also with these new capacities, we will commercialize the flame retardant products. So that will also have an enhanced impact on the revenues of next financial year.
Sure, sir. But the newer capacities, I mean, we should be able to utilize the newer capacities as well. So the number should be better than what we had done in the last year. Given that,
yes,
number one, there would be some kind of pent-up demand of this year.
Yes.
And probably that should kind of move ahead. And sir, on the flame retardant side, now that we were able to get the product characterization, you know, more or less in line with the quality, I mean, should we expect some, you know, kind of revenues to trickle down by this year, and what is the kind of utilization that one can expect in the next 2 years?
So we should expect revenue trickling from December and really actually picking up from January when the new facility will start operating. So we should see a decent demand for this in Q4 from the flame retardant category.
Sure. And sir, as far
we are about to execute the first full scale order from two customers. So this should be in a range of a couple of 100 tons of this product. So that would be a good beginning to start, and then we are approaching other customers as well. So we are in queue in terms of approving our product.
Sure, sir. And sir, with respect to, you know, the glyne, you know, actually appearing, you know, getting the purity levels, I mean, where are we in terms of the electrolyte as well as the glyne?
Yeah, so that is also one good development I forgot to mention that we did, is we actually now achieved the low PPM moisture levels in the glines. So we are submitting the samples to the customer. And so we also had to work on a lot of packaging issues so as to be able to transport this product in such a dry condition to the customer. So all those issues we could resolve during this quarter. And now we are actually about to just send the sample out to the two customers for approving the monoclimb for battery applications with very low moisture levels and high purities. So we are through with the development of that.
And I mean, should we expect a J-curve over here? Because given that this product can be quite exciting, I mean, in terms of our scale and size.
So ideally speaking, we should take about 5 to 6 months to get a formal approval. And then, of course, the start should be slow because they would not want to transfer a lot of their demands to us. So beginning, probably a year should be a slow, gradually picking up. And then we should see about in a year and a half to go to a full-scale demand in the battery application area.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot, Arjun.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Sanjay Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, Chintan bhai.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for taking questions. A few from my side. First, again, starting with the SDA. The real revival will happen only once Chinese heavy-duty truck sales start. Is that the right assumption?
That is absolutely the right assumption. When it will actually start growing up, you know, the demand. So right now, when I'm saying that the customer has revived, the two of these customers, and one is still not reviving, that the one which is not reviving is particularly because of lack of demand in the Chinese market.
Okay. And this is despite we adding one customer last year, and we are in a process to add another customer, right, in the SDA segment?
Yes.
So basically,
so this the new customer which we are adding up is going to consume this product into multiple application area. So we are submitting two different SDAs to this customer. So we are about to execute that order actually. By end of November, we are expected to dispatch both these products. And these are into automotive application area and plastic refining area.
Okay. Okay. Just on the guidance of 400 crore in this context, because in first half, we have done close to 175 crore and we are talking of 400 crore, which really doesn't suggest that we are looking at a significant jump from all this. So basically, most of the benefit will come starting FY.
From the SDA sales.
Yeah, SDA sales only in FY24, right?
No, no. So we will see a significant rise in SDA sales beginning from Q4. So of course, Q3 will also not be that bad as what we have seen in Q1 and Q2. But significant growth we will see in SDA demand coming back in Q4.
Okay. There is no other reason beyond
firm orders have been set for firm orders have been set for Q4. So so we believe, I mean, there is no reason not to believe that we will not achieve this number.
Got it. Now, from the inventory perspective, I also see that we are carrying close to 200 crores of inventory and most of it should be SDA, right?
Right. So 60, I am estimating about 60 to 65 crores reduction in inventory by end of this financial year, because we will be able to sell the piled up inventory with all these existing orders that we have on hand.
Okay. There is no risk of write-off in this inventory, right? You can store
it
for a fairly longer period of time.
Yeah. These have been tested to be stable for more than 5 years.
More than 5 years. Got it. That's on the SDA. Second, on the opportunities that we have disclosed, a lot more on the product validation, new product, your pharma intermediate, your agrochemical intermediate, new agrochemical product in the continuous flow. Can you help us understand what is the total addressable market or what is the revenue size? All these products put together can be achieved at the peak. I'm not talking in the year one or year two. What is the potential of this product to add to our revenue over next 3 years or a 4 year time frame?
I would say on a 4 year time, because this will take about a year and a half for these products to actually get approved and go to a commercial scale. And of course, the start first year would be a slow because they would be trying us and then it would go to a full scale. So on a 4 year horizon, this product opportunities, the four products what I am talking about can lead to a revenue in a range of 800 to 1000 crores.
This also includes the BFR, right?
No. I'm not talking on the BFR side.
Continuous flow chemistry opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay. And a significant portion of it will come from monoclime or it will be equal in all these products?
No. So the new product that we have launched, I mean, the ones which we have completed successfully, and there is one more product which we are now just about to complete. The catalyst has worked very successfully. The only issue we are currently facing is separation of the product, which probably we are very close to the solution as well. So these four products put together is what I am saying, that this has very large potential opportunities.
So just to clarify, the four products are the two agrochemical intermediate and two pharma intermediate and the one new agrochemical intermediate. These are the products are we talking? This doesn't include monoclonal.
Yes.
This doesn't include the BFR, right?
Out of these two products, we have already submitted for approval basis, and now we are working on the three products. So this intermediate, what we have developed on continuous flow basis, becomes my own key raw material, and then I have to synthesize the forward integration into a agrochemical intermediate.
So we are doing intermediate as well as AI in this entire value chain?
Not AI, not AI, but advanced stage intermediate.
Okay, advanced stage intermediate. Got it. And what is the potential opportunity in monoclime?
Monoclime, we believe that we can hit about 2,500 to 3,000 tons of volume over next 3 to 4 years time. And that is what is the capacity we are looking to set up once these pilot trials are done.
So we will go with that kind of a scale from day one, 2,500 to 300,000.
Yeah. So in continuous flow chemistry, you don't have option to, kind of build up capacity gradually. So it has to happen at one go.
Okay. And then we will start selling. But any initial test that we have done on the product now that we said that we have achieved the low moisture?
Yes, we are running this continuously in our R&D since probably now almost 9 months. Continuously. Day and night operation running since last 9 months. This is unfortunate that this pilot equipment is getting delayed. So the supplier is actually struggling with some heating elements which he has to import from Germany, which is causing this delay. So once this is in place, we will continuously again run for 3 to 4 months on pilot basis and then go for commercialization.
Got it. And you said that in the BFR, we faced certain challenges. What were those challenges which we faced? And now that we have said that it successfully been resolved, and our plant is also coming in end of Q3. So what is the potential volume we are looking in for FY24 in BFR?
So FY24, we are looking anywhere between 14 to 1800 metric tons a year.
Okay. And what was the challenge?
The challenges what we were facing is basically the first set of challenges we faced when we went from R&D scale to pilot scale. So where you there is a mismatch in terms of the yields or in terms of certain quality parameters. So it took us a while to resolve those issues. Then when we went from pilot to plant scale, so that was the final scale up that we did. So again, we had a lot of challenges that we faced in terms of, you know, operating at a different volume scale, which led to certain impurity profile changes or certain yield losses. So again, we had to do a lot of, probably we have taken 16, 17 odd batches to overcome all these issues, and now we are very confident that we are through with launching this product on a commercial scale.
And that commercial product has been approved by the customer, right?
Yes.
So with the new plant coming in?
We have received two formal approvals from the sample, and now we are set to receive commercial supply orders as a first plant scale trial approval basis. Kind of thing. So what we have sent is kind of a 5 to 10 kg scale of samples from the plant, and now we will execute a few container loads of product which will go actually from a production scale, and basically that will be intended for their full plant scale trial.
Got it. One last question from my side. On this PTC side, this year has been a phenomenal 60%. What should be the steady run rate? I know that we were not having capacity previously, hence that was deprioritized. But what should be a steady run rate from FY24 onwards in the PTC?
So on a fair, so we are steadily also adding few customers in PTC segment also. Some new application areas into which we were able to identify new customers. So this has been growing, and this is what is happening, that year on year basis, we have been growing at 15-20% rate. And that is what I expect. So this we can consider as a benchmark and grow from here at that rate.
Great, sir. Thanks for answering all my questions. I will get back into the queue for more questions. And best of luck for them, Gautas.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Gaurav Chopra from Union AMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. So firstly, on the SDA, so in one of the previous phone call, you had mentioned that the contribution from the non-automotive segment is roughly, I think, 20-25%, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at the first half number of SDAs, I think you've done about like 16 crores. So is the decline also coming in the non-automotive segment? Because, you know, based on the revenues of 225 crores in 22, you probably would have contribution of 50-60 crores from non-automotive segment.
Typically, the revenue mix is kind of 80-20 between automotive and the other segment. And the automotive segment is such where there is a continuous demand. Whereas in the other segments, it is always kind of a campaign run basis. So demands will continue to fluctuate. So most of this, whatever we have catered during this Q1 and Q2, most of this is going for the other application, non-automotive applications.
So automotive would be zero?
Almost. Fair to say that yes, it is almost zero in last two quarters. And that is what is now reviving.
Got it.
So in the last conference call, you had, you know, of course, mentioned that the SDA sales will be could be similar to FY20 levels. That, of course, is not.
That is what we were expecting, but because of this drop in demands from the Chinese market, which has led to revise my forecast on that. But this could again be once this Chinese situation is back to normal. So there is no what I would say is there is no lack of confidence in terms of whether this demand will ever happen or not. So the demand backdrop, the demand continues to remain strong. Customer keeps on talking to us now quite very frequently as well. But everyone is just waiting for that cycle to restart. So it's just a matter of time and patience.
Got it. Got it. So with
the customers, so out of three old customers, two of them have already revived and started putting in orders. And still one customer is yet to revive. So still they are not budging at all. And they expect to have some demands beginning end of Q4.
Right, right. But we have firm visibility for the fourth quarter of fiscal
year. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Got it. So with the expanded capacity also coming online, is it fair to assume that fiscal 24 we can you know, touch base the revenue base of SDAs of 225 crores in 22, or is it still
that is what I am expecting to happen.
Got it. Got it.
Yeah.
So secondly, on the PTC side, in the first quarter, I think what we have seen is the revenue from the PTC picked up sharply, and I think the understanding was that the SDA facilities are kind of fungible, so we can cater to the additional demand of PTC. But in the second quarter, we have seen sequential drop from, I think, 41 crores to close to 33 crores in the PTC. Is it due to seasonality or anything?
Some of these customers, for example, let us say an agro customer, they would run their products on a campaign basis. So when they put in orders, a continuous order for 6 months and then virtually no orders for maybe next 3 months. So it depends on how they are running that. But the demand, overall demand continues to remain very strong. And we are also seeing a very good next financial year demands for PTC as well.
Got it. Got it. So lastly, sir, on the electrolyte salts, there also we've seen, you know, sequential drop in the revenues. Anything on that? How does the rest of the year looks like for electrolyte salts?
Yeah, so we may see, so that is what I already told, that we may see certain drop because one of our large customers is struggling to meet the overall demand from their existing plant. So they are kind of trying to debottleneck their plant and they are going into a shutdown. So just from this month, so mid of November, we have been asked to stop supplies until early February or late January. So maybe we'll lose some sales in next 2 months, next 2.5 months time frame. And then we expect this demand to come back much more strongly than what we have been doing in past quarters.
Got it, got it.
Overall, if you look, the demand for energy storage systems is now increasing very rapidly. So our customers have been discussing about certain projects which they are in queue to get approvals for supplies for their battery storage system. So I would say 2025 is the year when we may see a huge, so gradually from 23, 24, 25, we may see an exponential growth happening over the next 3 years in this particular sector.
Got it. Got it. Thanks for the clarifications and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We take the next question from the line of Nirali Gopani from Unique Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So the question is on the EBITDA margin for the quarter. So if we see sequentially, the EBITDA margin has dropped from 17% to roughly 12%. Now if we see the last quarter, like Q1 also had a forex loss of 5 crores. The other expense is not that significantly high. So my understanding is that this is largely because of raw materials. So if you can elaborate on the same.
Not really raw material, because if you see, the raw material consumption might have increased by probably a 1% number. in terms of consumption of raw materials. So that is not the factor. The key factor that has arisen is a significant rise in energy cost. So our electricity cost as well as our fuel cost, that has gone up significantly. And that is probably not only for me as a unique case, but probably across the industry, everyone is facing that challenge. Second challenge we really faced was in terms of packaging material, because with some of our very sensitive products, we are compelled to use imported packing materials. And with very high freight rate cost, the suppliers had to adjust their prices for packing material accordingly so as to absorb this increased freight cost. So we had been paying very significantly higher price on packaging products, which also led to a severe rise in terms of packing material cost. So these two, I would say, are the key elements which has given rise to this kind of problem. Secondly, a good part of this is that particularly from month of November, this very month, so compared to October and now coming into November, there is a very significant drop in terms of ocean freight. So typically, if just to put a number, last month for a 40-foot container, typically we were paying for a European sector somewhere close to $8,000, which has now dropped to below $3,000. And again, in the U.S. sector where we were paying close to $9,000 to $10,000, has come down to about $6,500 to $7,000. So now we will see a consistent drop in freight cost as well as in terms of packing material cost, because we will have to readjust the price to lower levels considering lower freight cost. But energy and fuel and energy prices, we don't expect to drop in a short term or a medium term. So that we will continue to absorb. Because for these kind of factors, we also honestly cannot approach customers asking for a price rise, because these are not actually significant part of the overall costing model which we normally discuss with customers. So unless and until there is a significant movement in prices of raw material, it really is not making any sense to approach or disturb a customer. So we continue to absorb that cost for next few months. But probably now from November, we feel that we are coming into a comfort zone. And also, if you consider, we have virtually not been operating our SDA facility since last few months. So that is also an unabsorbed cost that is piling up. So that is also leading to stress on your profitability. So once, so now since the SDA demand is coming up, the plant utilization starts picking up. So that will also reflect in our profitability numbers again coming back to normal levels.
Okay. So, sir, at this 400 crore revenue that we are guiding, what kind of margins can we expect?
So, I would say slightly better margin than half one, because we will have a decent size of SDA sales in the Q3 and Q4 put together, but not the kind of margins that we have seen in the last financial year, of course. So, we should, this H1, we should be in the range of 20% of EBITDA, 20-22% of EBITDA is what I'm expecting.
Okay. And sir, if you can just talk about what will be the growth drivers for our SDA business over the next 3-4 years. Obviously, we have increased our capacity by roughly 50%. So we do expect a strong growth. So what will be the different growth drivers for the same?
So, I have already talked about this in the past. So, because now we are gradually moving from BS6 to BS7, Euro 6 to Euro 7. So, we are currently, see, the major impact of SDA sales, which is currently happening to us, is because we are also locked into technically a geography of India and China. And with China suffering in terms of demand, we are also suffering simultaneously. When going from BS6 to BS7, our geographical barrier is bound to go away, because we are already in queue for approvals for all the applications for BS7. So this geographical barrier, once it is gone, so this will have a good impact in terms of our getting larger market share. So that will automatically become a driver to push demands for Tatva Chintan. And secondly, with the new applications for these SDA products coming in the newer application areas like plastic refining. So this is again going to become a large growth driver for this particular sector.
Right. Thanks for that. And then just lastly, that we are with a lot of new initiatives that we have undertaken. say over the next 3-4 years at the company level, what kind of growth can we expect or any revenue guidance that you would like to give for?
Can you repeat the question?
No, so I was just saying that we are including a number of new initiatives, new products. So what kind of growth at the company level can we expect over the next 2-3 years? Or any revenue guidance that you would give for FY26?
I would not go that long, but I can tell you very confidently that the products that have been successfully developed and which are about to be developed in a very short span of time, all these products have a large potential downside application area, very large, in both application areas, in agrochemical as well as one in pharmaceutical area. So these are all large potential products which we are getting into. And some of these molecules have applications into multiple, so this becomes a key raw material for 3 to 4 different intermediate products. So that is what we are focusing on.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Jintan bhai, Happy New Year and thanks for taking my question.
Happy New Year too.
Yeah. Sir, just 2 or 3 clarifications from my side. So the first is that you have lowered sales guidance from around 520 to 530 crores to almost like 400 crores now. So
yeah.
this entire drop is solely on account of SDA sales? Is that understandable?
Solely. See, if you see, all the other 3 factors have grown very handsomely. And that continues to grow. But the whole of this guidance is coming in because we were expecting only Q1, Q2 to be subdued. But now coming to Q3, Q4, of course, we are going to see very good numbers on SDAs, but not what we were anticipating because one of the key customers is still not reviving. So that is what is bringing in this kind of a forecast in terms of SDA. But we should see very handsome numbers of SDAs going into the next financial year. That is for sure.
Understood, sir. Understood. So just to kind of elaborate on that, so we are also going to have some newer capacities, right, which are coming on stream from this month. So are we on track on that, on those capacities?
Yes. So we expect to start water trials from between 7th to 15th of December.
So, are we expecting any kind of growth from those numbers? Because I think we are
from
already
Q4.
Doing almost...
So, okay. Technically, commercially, this facility will start to generate revenues from Q4.
Understood. And would we have, let's say, in the beginning months, we ideally, I mean, you know, we normally see the utilization rates at lower, I mean...
Of course, it will gradually pick up, but we expect... a certain portion of the plant to be fully occupied with flame retardant products. So that is one part which has been locked in. So a lot of capacities will start getting consumed from FY24, beginning of FY24, a lot of it, yeah.
So the question that I had was that for, because of the lower utilization, would our margins be impacted in the next 2 quarters as well? So, or because I think you alluded
to what... I'm pretty sure that we will almost consume the capacities, existing capacities in Q4, that is for sure. Q3 also, we are getting pretty much busy. So Q3 is, in terms of capacity utilization is better, and Q4 will be operating the existing capacities at full scale. And... the new capacities will start getting busy with the flame retardant products. And that again depends on if the Chinese demand revivals comes up as we are anticipating by February of 23. So if that happens, then the new plant also starts becoming occupied.
Understood. And I think a small clarification here. Did you guide for 20 to 22% EBITDA for the full year? EBITDA margin?
Not for the full year. I'm saying for the half year, coming half year.
For the coming half year. Understood. And for the other expenses, I think you mentioned that there was an increase, but I think it's almost the same as the last quarter. 25 crore last quarter, 26 crore this quarter. So, I think...
69.
Is there anything that we are missing here?
No, no. So what I'm saying is this consistent increase. Now, see, basically when your plant is less occupied, doesn't mean that your power cost is going down, because most of your boilers, your cooling towers, your chilling plant, they are all continuously under operation, right? So with, so percentage of the power cost to the product, individual product, or the, this is the kind of impact you start taking a hit. So the more your plant gets occupied, all these numbers start getting coming back to a realistic level.
True.
And if you see, the power cost in the Dahej SEZ, so since we are in an SEZ, we have a lesser electricity duty. So earlier our power cost was 4.4 rupees per unit, and today it is at 6.6 rupees a unit. So nearly 50% rise in power cost. That has slowly and steadily it has built up over last 6 months time frame. Also the fuel cost, the LDO, probably let us take a scenario of December or January or maybe even February of 2022, was in the range of 48 to 50 rupees a liter, and today it is in the range of 82 rupees a liter. So that is also very significant rise and hit that we are taking now.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for all the clarification and answering patiently, and wish you all the best for the coming quarters. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. We take the next question from the line of Padma Raju Methi from SBI Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
So I joined the call bit late. So I'm sorry.
No, sorry. Can you speak a little loudly, please?
Yeah. So I just wanted to check on this gross margins level. So this quarter, SPS and CASC contribution has gone up sequentially. Despite that, our gross margins and gross profit has come down sequentially. So just wanted to check, you know, whether there's any element of inventory loss in this particular quarter, or am I missing something?
I would not say an inventory loss, but realistically we have kind of, you know, I already mentioned we took about 16, 17 odd batches for the flame retardant at a plant scale, where we were struggling with the quality, and so we had to do a lot of rework to bring it back to the desired quality levels to make it a sellable product. So all those kind of added cost was definitely involved during this quarter. Also, we did a very good product in terms of piloting that product. So that also involved a lot of modifications at the pilot scale level and new raw materials coming in. So when you are bringing in lesser volumes, less than container load, we are paying significantly higher prices. So, but this, I would not say, are very significant. So probably it may lead to 1 or 2% of your raw material cost going up, but not more than that, considering the overall 90 days time frame, quarter time.
Okay, and most of this, whatever the modifications that you have been saying, this has been normalized?
Sorry, please say again.
So the most of the modifications with respect to this flame retardant, you know, from getting stabilized and all,
So gradually we had to do modifications to adapt to this process, and so that is the reason why we had to take so many batches to stabilize the product, because that modifications at plant scale also had to be done simultaneously. So we were losing a lot of hours in terms of productivity as well. So one of our plant remain occupied with this kind of trials for almost, I believe, 60-65 days. And now, you know, everything is in place, and the last three validation batches we went through with what we were expecting, similar to the R&D levels. Yeah.
Okay, that's it, my sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Rohit from Progressive
Shares. Please go ahead. Chintan, a few queries. You did touch upon energy storage and devices plus their applications. And if I see and do a market research, some of these have been picking up already. I think some Lexus and Merck GLC with turbo hydro tech models. Your thoughts on that? By when do you think that it can start rolling out for TCPCL?
No, so this has already started rolling. So one of our large customers, see, presently we are now commercially selling this product to two different customers. We have been recently approved with a third customer, and the fourth customer, we are in queue of approval. So we have submitted our samples. Now, when I say one customer is from a supercapacitor application, one customer is coming from an energy storage application. So this energy storage application customer, so the next two customers are also coming in from the energy storage sector. And these people are talking of very exponential growth over the next 3 years. So basically, what is happening is now various governments across the world are setting up these energy storage devices, systems. And they are talking of kind of, let us say, 100 megawatt kind of energy storage systems per park. So now, depending on what kind of order scales my customer would get, and that would translate directly into demand for our electrolyte salt. So we expect very significant, not significant is probably not the right word. We expect exponential growth in this area in the next 3 years.
So can this contribute around 100 crore or 150 crore run rate over the next year and plus the exponential factor that you're saying?
So up to 2025, I would say even the number would be much larger than that.
Okay. Okay. My second question is related to these projects, and if you think that these have been unexplored or do you see any other opportunity which is related to glycerol ethers, any thoughts on working on these?
Can you please repeat? Sorry.
The metal acetyl acetonates or glycerol ethers, if Tatva Chintan is thinking of working on those lines?
No, not as of now, no.
You did mention about electrolyte salts. So currently, how many customers are there in pipeline?
So totally, we are commercially already working with two. The third customer has just placed their plant-scale trial order, which we are about to start production and execute. And the fourth customer, we are in queue for approval. So we have submitted the samples and awaiting approval decisions. So we are in all working with currently with four customers and
Okay.
in practicality. And we are discussing with two to three other customers. So it is still in a very primitive stage. But the kind of spectrum that is now getting, you know, in terms of application area for this geographically. So that geographic spectrum is growing very rapidly in terms of energy storage device applications.
Okay. And by when do you think that this will start hitting the P&L? Just an assumption or some industry analysis, if you can share that.
No. So I would say from next financial year, you will see this as
Okay.
quite decent number in terms of percentage of revenue. And 24, 25, it may become a significant number in terms of revenue, overall revenue percentage.
Okay. My last question is related to monoglycerin and the related products. So by when do you think that these will be commercially sold in the market to the customers by us?
So we are now about to send samples for this battery application area of monoglycerin applications. So we expect probably in 9 to 12 months time frame when we should actually start commercial. I mean, approval would typically take 5 to 6 months from this type of customers. Then probably another 4 months for commercialization.
And this can also add around 100-150 crores for us in next.
That would take time. Probably it should take about 2 to 3 years to scale up to that level. Yeah.
But the assumption is right, 100-150 crores after 2 years or so from monoglycerin.
100 crores definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Chintan. Thank you. Thanks a lot. All the very best. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We take the next question from the line of Ms. Isha from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is regarding continuous forex loss that we are witnessing. So is that any strategy that the company would take in to hedge the contracts going forward, or if we have any hedging strategy?
So this loss is happening because of the hedging strategy. So typically, you know, once you have certain committed orders from customers, let us say over a span of next 6 months, or you have certain sales estimates, export sales estimates for a span of next 6 months. So we typically hedge our incoming foreign currency over a span of coming 6 months, future 6 months. So that is what is translated. So theoretically, I would say, I mean, of course, in terms of accounts, I agree that this reflects as a loss. But if you see from an entrepreneur's point of view, I have sold my dollars at a point in time when I have negotiated a certain price with my customers. So for me, basically, I am securing my sale price at the point when I am about to get the order. Right? So this, in a depreciating rupee arena, this translates into a loss, because I was, even as of today, we have a hedging done up to March. Right? So if the rupee continues to depreciate, we continue to have this MTM losses. But in case of, let us say, the rupee starts appreciating, and if you are not covered, then you actually have a hit on your margins, because you know your sales realization will start dropping directly. So at least we are, as a strategy, we are securing our next 6 months of sales in forward contracts. That is what the strategy we typically do. 80% of the expected revenue is always.
So my next question is, since the company is export oriented, so globally the fear of recession that is coming up, so are we seeing any impact on the demand? Like on the SDA front, it is visible, but on the rest of the segments, is our visibility positive, or we do see any curtailment in the order book going ahead?
So typically, from European sector, we are seeing that kind of a phenomena happening, where we see certain order postponements happening for few months to altogether directly for few months. You know, so let us say, and delivery scheduled for December, now the customer is asking to deliver in March. So those kind of scenarios are happening with European customers. But I would say we are little fortunate, because at a good time the SDA demand is now reviving back. And also very good and fortunate part for us is typically the agrochemical demand is quite holding up very nicely. So that particular sector is not seeing kind of any recessionary mode as of now. So these two are very good signs, or, you know, kind of by grace of God, we shall remain protected even during this time of crisis. So of course, from the pharmaceutical and let us say the resin or the epoxy resin kind of industries, polymer industries, we are seeing this kind of a frequent phenomena happening as of now, where particularly the European sector customers are postponing the orders very frequently.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. That's it from us.
Thank you very much. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Dhruv Muchal from HDFC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. So just a bit clarification on this previous point. The FX impact is because you had already hedged, and now that you're selling, so your sales are also higher, and there is an offsetting impact of FX. So it's on a beta basis, it does not impact you. The FX item is not impacting you.
Yeah, it is impacted, no, because we are showing loss of forex loss of around 3.2 crore. Otherwise, yes, our profit would have been higher. EBITDA would have been higher.
Hedging is a normal practice. I am trying to understand. Yes, you always try to hedge.
I mean, in any times, you know, whether it is appreciating, depreciating, we don't look at that. As a policy, we continue to hedge our future sales.
Yeah, but okay, I understand the point, but yeah, got it, sir. Sure, sir. And the second point was, sir, the monoclonal that we are developing, I, if I'm not wrong, this also had some pharma application, and we were working with a pharma customer.
That is an ongoing. That is already an ongoing.
So I think that was also yet to approve, because I think the grade and the, because this was a different route. So any development there, any progress there, sir?
Yeah, so in terms of development part of on a different route, the development work has been done since quite few months now. We are just expecting the delivery of that equipment, which is being steadily delayed by the supplier. The equipment supplier is struggling with some electrical part which he is importing from Germany. So this equipment is getting delayed. Now he has promised to deliver this equipment before 15th of December. So once this is in place, we will start piloting of that product on a larger scale.
Okay, so I might have missed this. The battery application for Monoglyme is different than the
pharma application. Yeah, they are two different things. So basically, pharma. So in terms of purity levels, they are more or less the same. Sorry.
So
but when you talk of battery applications, there are certain impurity profiles which change. And also you have a very specific requirement of very low moisture product. So that is one part of the challenge which I am happy to tell you that we overcome during this quarter. So that there was a lot of work involved in doing that, multiple trials, not multiple, I would say a lot of trials to ultimately arrive at a moisture level of below 15 ppm levels. So that was a big task, a big challenge, which I'm happy that we could do this. And now we are submitting our samples for the battery application area with these specific quality requirements.
Okay. So the, got it. This is clear. And so in brief, if you can help, where does this Monoglyme go in the battery and or probably we can take it later in a separate call, but whatever is comfortable.
So basically, Monoglyme becomes a solvent for dissolving the electrolyte salts. So it goes into the, like how in our conventional car batteries, you have acids into your battery. So let us say in a, lithium battery, you have electrolyte salts, but this you cannot fill up with solid electrolyte salts. So you have to dissolve them into something. So there are certain solvents like dimethyl carbonate, propylene carbonate. So one of the similar solvent is Monoglyme, which is being used in this application.
Okay, and this is a product which has already been, I mean, if this is for electrolyte salt dissolution, this has already been used, but we are developing this product in a separate route, or is this, I mean, just trying to understand what is the difference?
So we were not, so far we were not meeting that specific quality requirement for the battery application. Now we have successfully completed the development work.
Got it. And in terms of the production cost and the things that is comparable or probably better than the conventional Monoglyme that is available in the market for that product quality?
Yeah, so with this continuous flow application that we have developed for that, we will have a better saving in terms of raw material cost in operating this product.
Okay, so this would be a very different route than what it is conventionally currently, I mean, what is there in the market.
Yeah, completely different than what we are doing currently, yeah.
Okay, great sir, thank you so much and all the best.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Shah, MD, for closing comments.
Once again, thank you everyone for joining us and for your continued support and trust on Tattva Chintan. We hope to deliver and see the SDA product category C improvement. We hope that we have been able to address most of your queries. You may reach out by writing to Mr. Ashok Bothra, our CFO, or our investor relation advisor ENY for any further queries that you may have, and they will connect with you offline. Thank you, Mr. Sanjay Jain, for hosting our call today. Everyone, please have a great evening. Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.